The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.
Bloomberg Audio Studios.
Podcasts, radio, news.
All right, well, shares of Tesla are higher in the after hours right now as investors continue to digest those first quarter earnings numbers. Global vehicle inventory rose to 28 days. It's a huge jump from the 15 days at the end of last quarter. Shares higher right now by just about 5%. First quarter revenue coming in at $21.3 billion. That was below estimates of $22.3 billion. Also a miss when it comes to adjusted EPS, I should say. That coming in at 45 cents versus estimates of 52 cents.
Shares of Tesla up about 5.5% in the aftermarket, but also Tesla to accelerate the launch of more affordable models. That getting a red sticky by our team here at Bloomberg. All right, so let's get to it with us. Ross Gerber, President and CEO at Gerber Kawasaki Wealth and Investment Management, and also Bloomberg Businessweek columnist Max Chafkin. Ross out there in Santa Monica, California. Max here in our Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio, getting ready for another round of Tesla Bingo, which we'll get into in just a moment. Ross, investors like it. What do you make of this report, looking backwards, looking forwards?
Well, I think the good part of the report, because this is really the only good part of the report, is them saying that they're going to accelerate the production of this next gen vehicle platform. And they were pretty vague about what they're calling this, or, you know, what robo-taxi is, or is a Model 2 coming? And I think that'll be clarified on the conference call. So, you know, once again, we don't really watch after hours trading because it really doesn't represent all the participants. And so, and we haven't seen the conference call yet. So we'll see how the stock trades over the next several months. But there really isn't any other good news in that report other than them saying they're going to accelerate production, even though they just fired all the people that are in charge of accelerating production.
Hey, Ross, remind everybody, take a step back here, because Carol and I were looking at the terminal a little earlier. You are a longtime Tesla bull until you weren't, and you were a longtime believer and have been a longtime believer in the company. You guys still own a substantial number of shares over at Gerber Kawasaki, but what is your position right now in Tesla moving forward?
So my position is that Tesla is a wonderful company that has enormous potential with a CEO who has become so divisive that people won't buy the cars. And that's why saying you're just going to produce more cars doesn't address the real issue, is why they're not selling cars today. And that's the issue that needs to be addressed that isn't being addressed. So as a shareholder, we have to assess what the future earnings potential of a company is based off what their business model is. And when we started investing in Tesla over 10 years ago, and we've had a great run up until the purchase of Twitter. And so we've been lowering our position because what we feel is that Elon's behavior has hurt the brand in such a way that consumers actually don't want to buy a Tesla. It's just the best car on the road at the best price. So people buy the car reluctantly at this point. So I think, you know, we've got these problems to solve, and I'm not sure if that will be addressed on the conference call today. And that's, you know, and I don't like being called a Tesla bear, because I actually think they could turn the company around pretty quickly if Elon changed his behavior and stopped attacking everybody. But I just don't think that's going to happen. And so I think the bigger issue that isn't being addressed is it doesn't matter how many cars Tesla makes if nobody will buy them.
All right. So Max Chafkin, come on in. You guys do the Elon Inc. Podcast. You're constantly looking at what he says, what he does. You're looking at his kind of his assets, his portfolio. Your initial thoughts on kind of the headlines we got?
Yeah,
from the company.
Just to kind of underline, Ross is saying something like this, but like the note about the new products is very vague. It doesn't say we're going to have a Model 2 and it's going to come out on this date, which is what many investors had been hoping for. It sounds like it's saying, if I'm reading it correctly, they're going to try to essentially make the current models more affordable. Now that obviously could allow them to sell more cars, but it's a slightly different spin on things than what many people have been expecting. The other thing is, as Ross is saying, you know, on a Tesla earnings day, what Elon says, and more importantly, how he says it, is just as important as what's in these numbers, because he is going to hopefully, anyway, clarify some of this. We'll also hopefully get a sense of like where things stand with robotaxi, where things stand with potential affordable cars. And investors seem to react to based on his optimism. You know, a couple quarters ago when he was in this kind of dour mood, we saw the stock go down. So it's like, do we get an optimistic version of Elon or the kind of very dour, pessimistic Elon?
Well, I wonder if you have a question for Ross, Max.
Yeah, Ross, what is your reading on this paragraph about the product?
Well, I think you're dead right about the two things you just said. Number one, they're of course vague because of the legality of it if they put this down and they don't do it, right? And since nobody seems to know what Elon's going to do, and I'm sure that everybody understands that nobody within Tesla knows what the business plan is either, because they just don't at this point. But I think secondly, a lot of it will be, how does Elon answer these questions from investors during the conference call? And what you said is right. If we have sort of a very positive Elon and he's refocused and he's going to be working at Tesla more, and, you know, he can play the room right. Maybe we get a little rally in the stock, but it doesn't change the fundamentals. If he doesn't play the room right, this becomes a bloodbath. So, you know, I'm just hoping that he understands the damage that he's done and starts to mitigate this versus diving in and sort of doubling down.
It will be interesting to see if Twitter comes up, or sorry, X comes up, you know, because there is this question and this sense that he's spent, gee whiz, a lot of time talking about X, tweeting about X, doing X-related things. There's even a potential, oh, they're going to have a Grok integration inside of the Teslas. And I think that to people who are really bought into the EV story rather than the, you know, Elon Musk genius story, which those are two important constituencies here, I think, for Tesla stock, you know, they would like to see him spend less time on his social media network.
Yeah.
Well, it's not just less time. It's what he's saying. You know, it's like, it's not the time. It's that what he's saying oftentimes is super divisive and basically racist. So it's like, it's really hard to sell products to people when the CEO says things that are really hurtful to people, including me for that matter.
No, and we've talked with you about that. Absolutely. Ross, what could Elon say on the call, or Elon and company say on the call, that would make you more excited about the company, or once again say, you know, kind of, oh, Elon, really?
Well, if I had my dream come true, he'd say, I'm coming back to work at Tesla, because he basically doesn't work at Tesla. And he would say, I'm done tweeting all this garbage in politics. I'm going to really focus on advancing sustainable transportation and energy, and that we're going to release this lower, priced car. And the strategy that we all bought into 3 years ago, you know, and the stock was at all time highs and earnings were going up, you know, 50-100% a year. You know, it was like a different world than today. And it's amazing to me he doesn't understand this difference that really is his responsibility. And so as a shareholder, I have to say it's an extremely distressing time, because the valuation of Tesla is premised off all these great technological innovations, none of which have come to fruition yet. So his focus is 100% what needs to be happening right now.
Hey, Ross, I do want to just end with one last question about the cost of producing these vehicles. It seems like Tesla is doing everything it can to bring down the cost of producing these cars, the cost of goods sold, too. What numbers do you want to see there?
Well, they are, but their margins continue to go lower. If you look at the report, which I've only had a minute to look at, you know, their vehicle margins continue to go lower, their operating margins go lower, their net margins go lower.
Yeah.
So they're able to lower the price of the car, but what they're not able to do is keep that going as fast as they're lowering the price of the vehicle. So it's still hurting them, even though they're lowering the cost of the car. And it doesn't bring in a bigger market, but you're not creating any demand. And this is, I have said it 100 times, every company in America advertises for a reason. People need to know why your products are superior. And all the Tesla people have bought in Teslas, you know? So all these YouTubers can tweet all they want, but everybody who wanted a Tesla bought a Tesla. So you got to get new customers. And the new customers are being told that charging sucks and EVs are bad and this and that. And Donald Trump says they're bad. And this is all they see all day. And then it's like, why would they go buy a Tesla? Because there's not one ad anywhere that tells you how great the cars are, because they are great.
Right. And you still own them, right? Real quickly, yes or no?
Yeah, I do. I just don't understand why they don't tell people how great their vehicles are.
All right, Russ Gerber, so appreciate it. We know you've got to, I think, run over to our TV guys, President and CEO at Gerber Kawasaki. So appreciate you joining us. Max Chafkin is staying with us at Bloomberg Businessweek, and we want to roll into the conversation, Ed Ludlow.
Yeah, he's co-host of Bloomberg Technology on Bloomberg TV. He joins us from the San Francisco Bureau. I do want to note, Carol, that Tesla first quarter automotive gross margin, excluding regulatory credits, was at 16.4% for the quarter.
Stock up 6.3% in the aftermarket.
Hey, Ed, come on in here and explain why you think the stock is moving higher, given that a lot of these numbers came in below estimates.
Yeah, I think that the print and the numbers in after hours have nothing to do with the quarter gone. Everyone's looked past it. Frankly, what the shareholder deck outlines is almost line for line exactly what Dana and I outlined in the big take on Sunday, which is on the affordable EV, a big body of work had already been done at the component and production process level. And Tesla is moving forward with a more affordable lineup of EVs based on that technology. It was really misunderstood. It's like the world was banking on the Honda Civic of EVs and Tesla to be the one to bring it. But my understanding from sources, that was never the case. And if you read the shareholder deck, they spell it out pretty clearly. They've looked at this kind of more holistically, and there will be more affordable EVs coming late 2025. Caution, caveat, Musk is also often misses his own deadlines. You know that I always say that. But it's like a something
what?
For everyone. Yeah, you know that. And
just
that was me protecting myself from all the people who may go after me on social media. But explicitly it states that they are working on a purpose-built robo-taxi. And so we went into this saying, if you're a Wall Street institutional giant who really wanted to see an affordable EV, or you're the technology investor or the retail investor that's kind of all in on the Tesla thesis around autonomy, you got that as well. And really, I think the market are joining in hands to play that in after hours.
You know, the question is, like, what is an affordable EV? And I think one of the ways that Elon Musk could clarify is to sort of say that. You know, he, over the weekend, amid all this speculation, he tweeted a screenshot showing the Model Y priced at $29,000, which sounds pretty affordable. Of course, that includes tax credit, which, you know, not everybody gets, and a $5,000 sort of assumption of gas savings. So like, you could imagine a situation where he tries to argue, like, look, we're going to cut a bunch of costs out of this thing, and we're going to make it affordable as is. Like, we don't need an additional model, which is a really intriguing proposal that is a huge, pretty big departure from how the car industry normally does things. And in certain ways, like Ed is saying, maybe not that surprising, right? That's kind of, you know, Elon Musk has long modeled this company after Apple. You know, Apple sells a very, you know, modest product line. All the products kind of look the same. They're all kind of expensive. You know, you could sort of imagine his effort to do this. And I, you know, who knows if it's going to work, but it definitely is outside of what, you know, a normal sort of car company, normal car company analyst would expect to see, would want to see.
You know, guys, I'm looking at a live blog, Corey Cantor weighing in, our BNF electric vehicle analyst, and saying, you know, where he talks about these new models and talks about, I don't know, new models ahead of our previously communicated start of production in the second half of 2025, accelerating that launch. He writes, by including these statements in the investor deck, it shows Tesla has identified that a lack of new models is a problem, but are there actually actions being taken, or just a continued lack of clarity? And I guess, you know, I'm going to go back to you, Max, for a second. It feels like, right, we want a little bit more specifics, right, on what this means.
Yeah, again, it does have the feel of deck that's being written for maximum optionality. And you know, this is all happening very, very quickly. You know, we've seen Elon Musk get re-engaged, it appears, in any case, you know, conduct this layoff in a way that has seemed, at least according to, you know, the reports that Bloomberg has published, that Ed has written, very hasty. And so you do wonder, like, maybe they are trying to figure this out as we speak. And who knows if we're definitely going to get that level of clarity on the call from Elon Musk. Although, given Elon Musk, like, he cannot help himself but sort of say controversial things. You know, he's got that sort of Trump characteristic of being sort of really, really honest, sometimes to a fault. He may, you know, spout something off that could send the stock in any number of directions.
Ed, to that point, you know, what are you looking for on the call, Ed, if you're when you're tuning into the call?
So I don't want to be inconsistent. You know, I posted in the blog before we kick things off, clarity. But actually, to be fair, I think that Tesla has given us one single line of clarity. So I'm just going to read it. This update may resolve in a result in achieving less cost reductions than previously expected. So Carol read out the section in which they outlined the explanation. There will be multiple affordable models. But I think that the market, and indeed because Elon Musk kind of guided us there, was thinking this will be a brand new model. Maybe it will be called M2. Maybe it will specifically cost $25,000. I think in that single line of the shareholder deck on page 10, they're saying it will be less expensive than the average cost of a Y or 3 now. It will not be $25,000. And so now we go to the big picture, clarity. How many of these things will you build? And what is the strategy with that vis-a-vis robo-taxi? Because they all occupy the same physical production space in Austin, based on our understanding. I also would think maybe the tone of Elon Musk, Tim, to answer your question.
Yeah.
I thought he'd be a bit combative and frazzled.
Yeah.
Now I just don't know.
Wait, we're surprised by something with Elon? All right, Ed Ludlow, we're going to let you go because we know you've got a full plate to continue. But of course, Bloomberg Technology co-host Ed Ludlow. But we got to talk about, with Max, final minute here or so, Elon Bingo? Tesla
right.
Bingo.
You know, again, I talked about this 3 months ago. This is a thing that many Tesla watchers, bulls, bears, everybody in between, Elon Musk super fans, Elon Musk's haters tend to do, which is to kind of create a bingo card and look for some of his catchphrases. So we at the Elon Inc. podcast, we've got a new episode out right now, and we have this bingo card. Just want to flag a few items. Horse, that would be O1. Now, Elon Musk has said that anyone who's driving a non-autonomous car, not a robotaxi, it'll be like driving a horse compared to a car. So see if he tries that line on us.
A few others.
N2, Grok. N4, reasonably optimistic. He's often reasonably optimistic about lots of things. So, lots of fun to be had here. And we'll see if anyone gets bingo.
It's a fun card.
Hopefully we get you back in three months and also... earlier than 3 months. Be sure to check out the Elon Inc. podcast wherever you get your podcasts. That's Max Chafkin, a columnist for Bloomberg Businessweek.
From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, the promise and perils of artificial intelligence are playing out on the world stage. But what will the next phase of AI adoption look like? Which companies, from big tech to startups, will dominate? And where do the risks and unintended consequences lie? I'm Emily Chang. Join me at Bloomberg Tech in San Francisco, May 9th, to answer many of the industry's burning questions, alongside Snap's Evan Spiegel, Xbox President Sarah Bond, OpenAI's Brad Lightcap, top researcher Dr. Fei-Fei Li of Stanford, and many more. More details and just a few tickets left at Bloomberg.com/TechSF.